So today, as I mentioned at the top of the service, is All Saints Day. All Saints Sunday, which every year leads off the month of November. And I think every year I comment that I love this season and this day. First is the weather, usually bleak and cold. Not today, I guess. But in general, in November, the weather turns bleak and cold. I love it. The second is the mood. It's a somber month. November is a somber month. Since the 9th century, Christians have remembered the blessed dead at this time, which is always attended by that peculiar mix of gratitude and sorrow as we remember those who are beloved to us and rest with the Lord. In addition, for the past 100 years or so, Canadians have marked the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month as a time to remember our war dead and to vow again that we'll never let war happen again. So, cold, dark, bleak, somber, and sorrowful. Maybe I'm perverse, but I like it. There's more to it, of course, though. Today is even more deeply about resurrection. Today, All Saints Sunday, is fundamentally a day of resurrection and the promise of joy, even in the darkest of circumstances. I think of it, again, I say often, as a little Easter. Roughly halfway around the calendar year from the heart of our celebrations, Easter Sunday, is this, All Saints Day. Today we sing with all the saints in glory, we sing the resurrection song, as the line from the hymn goes. Today our alleluias should abound just as they do at Easter, although sounded in a more muted and somber tone. All this, then, is the background for our remembrance of all the saints who have blazed a trail for us, the great cloud of witnesses who cheer us on in our journey of faith in this world. Today, we remember those ones who have come out of the great ordeal of life and now rest from their labors. This year's remembrance is particularly poignant, I think, as we observe it in the midst of this new pandemic era of masks and physical distancing and severe restrictions on social gatherings, including funerals. The saints we've lost in the past year, we have not been able to grieve together as a community. So our hearts are broken, and our prayers today are especially with the families of those who have fallen asleep in the Lord since March. I'm glad that we are able to be together today in a great cloud of witnesses, both spiritual, of course, and technical. Here we are in the cloud, together, as a community. So the first reading we heard today was from the book of Revelation, that account of John's vision of the heavenly assembly. We heard the great multitude of the saints cry out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." In the vision, John wonders who all these people are. And he's given the answer, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal." Now that phrase, "the great ordeal," really stands out for me this morning. Maybe it does for you too. The great ordeal. Originally, of course, it was understood to mean an ordeal of persecution, torture, and martyrdom. But I wonder if it has other resonances for us. I wonder if we might not expand its meaning and our vision of what the ordeal might be. Because we all know, perhaps this year more than ever before, that life itself is an ordeal at times. All of us are at one time or another touched by death of many kinds. Endings, losses, defeats, restrictions, and reverses. All of these are part of our lives. We all face a great ordeal. It's the ordeal of letting go as you downsize your house and move to a condo or a lodge. The ordeal is the long, slow goodbye you make as a loved one succumbs to Alzheimer's or dementia. The ordeal is loss of employment. It's living in the interim between the diagnosis of a terminal illness and the death that you know is coming. The ordeal is giving up and letting go of many hopes and dreams in order to care for a child, a spouse, or a parent. The ordeal is a marriage. It is breaking into pieces. The ordeal is the diminishment of life that comes from not being able to gather with friends and family, especially in those times or times of need or crisis. The ordeal is COVID-19. Great ordeals, yes, we know about them. There are times when our grief or our sorrow can rise up and feel so big that we think that there will never be an end to this darkness. In the midst of such times, we can feel abandoned by God, cursed, in other words. I want to say that no matter what ordeal you might be going through right now, whether it is the COVID pandemic that we all share, or one that is unique to your life at this moment, whatever your ordeal, then hear this promise from Scripture. This promise from the ones who have been there before. There will be an end. A time will come when the ordeal will be over. There is a community of support and care, a great multitude of those who love, want to be there for you. The ordeal will come to an end, and in that time you will hunger for nothing, you will thirst nevermore, and God will wipe away every tear from your eyes. I'm not only talking about death that can sometimes come as a friend to release us or one we love from suffering. But I'm talking about a promise of this life, that there will be an end. A time will come and the ordeal will be over. A time will come when all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well. If you are in one of those ordeals, Jesus is speaking to you when he says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." In fact, he says it over and over again. Blessed, blessed, blessed are the meek, the peacemakers, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who sorrow. Blessed are those who are vulnerable, who are weak, who have broken hearts. Blessed are the people who love in this world. They will be filled. Their reward is great in heaven. Jesus hands out blessing like it's growing on trees, as Nadia Bolz-Weber says. He knows how much we need to hear the word. At those times when our lives are as gray and cold as a November day, it's so easy to fear that we are abandoned or cursed by God. And that's because it's so fixed in our minds that blessing means a great house, a good job, a big income, excellent health, a happy family, successful children. Those are the things that first come to mind. We might even say sometimes, oh, I've been blessed. I've been blessed. And those are the kinds of things that we're thinking of. But those are the marks of blessing as this world thinks of it. Jesus wants us to know that God does not tie value or worth to those things the way we do. Jesus wants us to know that even when we're low in spirits, we're brokenhearted, we are grieving, we're sorrowful, we're beaten down by life, we are still blessed. We're still loved. John once spoke to a beleaguered little community of Jesus' followers with words of wonder and comfort. And he still speaks to all who are going through heartbreak and sorrow today with these words. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. Beloved, we are God's children now. That's what John says in the epistle there. We are God's children now. So, dear friends in Christ, if there is one thing I want you to remember on this day of All Saints, is that you are God's children now. Today, of course, we remember those who have gone before us in the faith. We light candles of remembrance in their honor. And that is fitting and right and good. But beyond that, we remember that we are part of this assembly of saints today. We are blessed. We are held in love. We are God's own beloved children. Those who can remember this truth, even in the heart of their sorrows, have the power to transform the sorrows, come through the ordeal, and spread God's blessing to all the world. In the name of the one who is coming to make all things new, amen.